according to what is called the lectionary that we and many other churches follow, all throughout the year there are special days honoring people of importance or events in the life of the church. If you aren't one that comes to Wednesday Mass, you won't know the number of times that we remember St. Bartholomew, St. Mary the Virgin, Holy Cross Day. There are a number throughout the year, and we try to remember all of those. All of those days can be transferred to a nearby day if we have a service. But the Feast of the Transfiguration always falls on August the 6th. Always. And if August the 6th is a Sunday, as it is today, Transfiguration takes precedence over any other readings that we might do. So that means this is especially important. I was very excited about it today because on the pilgrimage that I took in May, we visited the site of the Transfiguration. In fact, our first stop was Mount Tabor, where we celebrated our first Eucharist together. If you flip in your bulletin to page 17, you will see a picture of the mountain. When you see it, you'll understand that it is quite distinctive. And I think that that is one of the reasons that the scholars have reached a fairly unanimous decision that it was the actual site mentioned in the Gospels. Three of the four Gospels talk about this transfiguration. Such unanimity in the Gospels and by scholars is very rare. On the trip, we got used to people saying, this is the exact place where such and such took place. Or if it isn't, it's somewhere close by. But not so with the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Very few people make a case for someplace else. Here's another thing that you need to know. In the story of the Transfiguration, which you heard from the Gospel, you heard that Peter, James, and John suggested in a sort of ridiculous way that they build three tents for dwellings so that Elijah and Moses and Jesus could all remain there. Well, their thoughts of hospitality were immediately interrupted when the voice came out of the cloud and said, Jesus is my son. Listen to him. An interesting thing I found out because I was on the pilgrimage is that the disciples sort of had their way in the long run. Not because there are now three tents, but because there is now a Roman Catholic church, the Church of the Transfiguration, on the peak of Mount Tabor, where we worshiped. The church consists of three naves, or three sanctuaries, like this one. They are separated by two rows of columns supporting arches. In the two bell towers on either side of the entrance, there are two chapels. The northern chapel is dedicated to Moses, and it contains an image of him receiving the tables of the law on Mount Sinai. And on the southern chapel is a dedication to Elijah the prophet. And it contains an image of him invoking God during his confrontation with the Baal prophets or the pagan prophets on Mount Carmel. And above the altar in that church is the beautiful mosaic that you see on the cover of today's bulletin. I don't really think that anything intellectually was dramatically revealed to me while I was there. But being there certainly gave me a great deal more time and reason to consider the Transfiguration and what the gospel is trying to convey to us. One of the first things that struck me about this event was something not even in today's gospel, but in the version in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew, after the voice spoke from the cloud, the disciples fell on their faces and were terrified. Jesus bent down to touch them and said, "Get up, do not be afraid." When they looked up, Jesus was alone, and Elijah and Moses were no longer there. This event was a transfiguration, a change from the normal to something that is beautiful and dazzling and sacred. The simple, gentle man, when it was over, suddenly had shown all of the vivid glory that rightly belongs to the Son of God. His glowing raiment and the dazzling radiance of the whole experience are the things that would be a part of a coronation. Jesus had been transfigured right before their eyes, and the voice had spoken from the cloud, telling all of us that Jesus is God's Son and that we should listen to him. This all took place not on the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, as it is today, but during Lent, just a week before Jesus entered into Jerusalem. In a movie, the plot would have proceeded so that the glorious Messiah would enter Jerusalem the next week, not riding on a lowly donkey, but in a mighty chariot. He would be the conquering hero, and he would overpower the Romans and the ruling Jewish leadership. But God's plan was to just give the disciples a glimpse of Jesus as the Son of God and tell them how important it is to listen to him. No doubt God was anticipating how easy it would be the following week for the disciples to question their own eyes and their hearts and to abandon the Lord. He knew the fear that was about to shake Jesus' followers when he was arrested and crucified, seemingly without all that brilliant protection of the power of God. That is why I am so taken by Jesus' actions right after the Transfiguration. And it is the thing that I love so much about the version according to Matthew. The most moving moment is when Jesus knelt down to touch the disciples on their shoulders and tell them to not be afraid. He didn't give an elaborate explanation in any of the gospel accounts of what they had seen. He did not sit down and teach them an important lesson. He simply showed them extraordinary compassion and told them they didn't have to be afraid. So I have a theory that I believe is sound. I don't think Jesus was the only one transfigured on Mount Tabor. I believe that the disciples were too. They saw Jesus. He was revealed to them in a whole new way, and it changed them. I believe this awe-inspiring event was all for their benefit and ours. Jesus' outward appearance was changed, but then afterward, he remained the same gentle, loving, compassionate man who reached down and reassured the disciples before he went on about the tragic business of sacrificing his life for all of us. The people who were transformed that day were the disciples who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration. What if, by hearing this story, we can be transfigured by our love for Christ and our relationship with God? All it takes is seeing the vision that the disciples saw. We won't look any different on the outside, but we will have a new strength within us, something that compels us to touch others and calm their fears. The transfigured Jesus gives us that power. Now, here's the last thing you need to know today about the pilgrimage. Because we were traveling with the bishop and the dean of the cathedral, they presided at services, sometimes multiple times a day, whenever we stopped at sacred sites. We didn't always do a Eucharist, but in this particular worship on Mount Tabor, we did the form of the Eucharist that I will do today. I have taken the liturgy, including some that you have already heard, the prayers of the people, word for word from the worship booklet we had on the trip. So I invite you to let yourselves be transported to that mountain. Hear the words of the bishop in the Eucharist, and let yourselves become pilgrims. Amen.